When I read this particular gospel reading from St. Luke, I always recall the image and the life of my first spiritual director, Father John Mary. Father John Mary, what a great missionary. He worked so hard to preach the gospel. And I remember driving him around on the weekend. I was asking myself, how can this 80-year-old man work so hard? Huh? And he had seemed to have more energy than I did. But then one day, I remember, we were sitting in the foyer of the monastery. And he was walking up the stair. He lost his balance, fell back, and busted the back of his head. That's what the scariest day of my life. We called the ambulance to come. They took him to the hospital, and from that day on, he became totally paralyzed. He was paralyzed. And I imagine a life of a man who was a great missionary, now paralyzed, and had to be dependent on us to take care of him. He couldn't even go to the restroom by himself. We took care of him at best that we could. And I remember asking him, Father, are you okay? It must feel very bad for you to have to depend on us. He said, yes, I don't like it at all. And from time to time, he got irritated and he would snap at us. But immediately, once he snapped and once he found out that he snapped, he would always call us back and apologize to us in front of us. A man of humility, a man of great faith, a man of great zeal, now paralyzed. And I remember asking him, the last time I saw him before I was assigned to another house, before I went to my novitiate, I asked him, Father, with everything that you're going through, is it worth it? Is it worth it? What are you hoping to hear God tell you when you go see him face to face? Is it worth it? And what are you hoping that God will tell you? And he said exactly the last verse that we heard today. He said, child, I hope that when it all ends here, I'll be able to see God face to face. And he'll tell me, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. It will all be worth it. And I remember Father John. And he taught me and he touched my heart. Not because of what he could do with his eloquent speech or preaching or anything like that. He touched me because of his life example. Especially with his example of perseverance when he lost all mobility, his faithfulness to God, even though he was no longer deemed worthy in the eyes of this world. He taught me by his perseverance what it means to believe and what it means to believe until the very end. That passionate love of the Lord, expressed not in his own ability, but also expressed in his own suffering. He taught me what it means to have faith. Perhaps many of us don't remember our own baptism, but at the moment of our baptism, when you and I were presented at the door of the church, the priest first asked, what name do you give to your child? And your parents and my parents would give us the name. And then the priest represent the church would ask, what do you ask of God's church for your child? The answer would be baptism. And the priest or the deacon would then go on explaining, by accepting the responsibility of training of baptism, you have accepted the responsibility of training him or her in the practice of the faith to keep God's commandment as Christ has taught us, by loving God and our neighbor. Are you willing to do so? And the answer would be yes. This is what it means to hand on the faith by teaching our children and future generations what it means to practice the faith by keeping God's commandments as Christ has taught us, by loving God and our neighbor. Too many times we say that we have people who love God, but immediately those are only words expressed on the lips of the mouth. We have not really loved God by how we keep His commandments, by loving Him in our neighbor. That is hard. That is challenging. And for those of you who are later convert, the first right in the RCIA right is the right of welcome or the right of acceptance. And the priest would ask the candidate or the catechumen this first question: what is your name? The second question: what do you ask of God's church? The candidate would say one word: faith. And the priest would then ask, what does faith offer you? The candidate would answer two words: eternal life. Wow. What does faith offer you? Eternal life. That's powerful. Oftentimes we think that, oh, faith gonna make me rich. Faith gonna make everything goes right. Faith is going to make my life completely stress-free. Faith is supposed to be there at my quote-unquote spiritual insurance. But the church, through this rite, asks us, what does faith offer you? Not material riches or prestige or anything like that. What does faith offer you? Two words: eternal life. An eternal life with God by keeping His commandments and loving Him and our neighbor. This is what faith offers to us. And even in our trials and sufferings, we know that we're not alone, because God has given us the same gift that He had given Christ, the gift of His everlasting love. And as we were baptized as His children, He gave us this wonderful gift in each and every one of you. A few days ago, one of the teenagers asked me, Father, if God created all of us, then we're His children, right? Yes. Then why do people need to be baptized for? Good question. Mean that this teenager was thinking, then why do we need to be baptized for? So I said, give me a second, let me think. And so I came back with the answer. As an orphan, we know that we would have a biological father and mother, but we might not know them by name. But through adoption, right? Through that baptism, God made Himself our Father. We know Him by name. And we know Him personally, and we know who He is, and we can come to Him directly in prayer and through prayer. And through that gift of baptism, He had not only give us the ability to become His children, but He also give us a family of faith, a family that helps us each and every day. Through baptism, we know who we are in a very personal and intimate way as a child of God. And to be able to call Him by name, Abba, Father, through the power and working of the Holy Spirit, to become more Christ-like each and every day. And we have the ability to offer whatever going on in our life for the greater good of the world and the salvation of all souls. That what Christ had given us by making us and giving us the opportunity to become God's adopted children. Through His own life, through His redemption, through His salvation and ultimate sacrifice on the cross. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, as Christians, I ask you this question. If Christ had died for you and I and give us the ability to become God children, how are you and I living our faith and personalize that life, example, and sacrifice of Christ in our own life? Second, what does your Christian faith offer you? Answer that yourself. What does your Christian faith offer you? I want you to answer that. And third question, what are you hoping to hear from God when it all ends? What are you hoping to hear from God when it all ends? My brothers and sisters, I'm not selling you false hope. But I can tell you, in my own life, I know what the faith offered. I have gained much, and I have lost much. But I know that my faith offered me real hope, not wishy-washy hope. Hope in God, who had never abandoned me. And I hope, too, that one day when I see my God face to face, I can hear what Father John Mary hoped for and wanted. That, Lord, even though I am imperfect, even though I have many brokenness and faults, I love you all my life, and I hope to spend eternity with you. And I hope to hear from him when I stand and see him, look at him straight in the eyes. I hope to hear from him the same thing that I heard in the gospel today. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased.